You see what I mean? I just preached this the other day. And some of y'all don't even remember it already. So let's meditate on it. You must be able to teach effectively and be patient with difficult people. You said, but you don't understand my wife. You don't understand my husband. He's the most difficult guy in the world. It don't make no difference. What God tell you to do? Be patient with difficult people. What does that mean to be patient with? If there's anybody you should be patient with, it's some of your loved ones. Right? Your family, your children, your mate. Be patient with it. But God didn't draw the line with your family, did he, Fred? He said, you don't just have to be patient with Kathy. And Kathy, you don't have to be patient with Fred. You got to be patient with me too, girl. Kathy said, I don't know whether I can do that or not, but I'll try. No, I'm just kidding. That's what the Lord said. Be patient with difficult people. Now then, let's go to the next verse, 25, and see what he says. Now look what happens when you do those things. You should gently teach those who oppose the truth. Now, if you've got somebody that's opposing the truth, I mean, you know, you hear somebody say, well, you know, godliness is next to cleanliness. My grandma said that. I know it's in the Bible. We said, well, could you show me that? No, you can't show me that. It ain't in there. So you have to be careful. You should gently teach those who oppose the truth. Now, if they oppose something, don't get in a knockdown, drag out with them. Don't get in a quarrel because you can't go there, right? Can't go there. So you just go say, let me find it in the scripture. I'll come back and we'll sit down and talk about it. And when you sat down and said, well, you know, this is what the Word says. And, you know, I've done that with a few people and show them exactly what the Word says. And they said, well, I don't believe that. I mean, it's just like a preacher told me the other day, this Baptist preacher. He said, God does not heal everybody. I said, well, he said, it's not his will to heal everybody. I said, well, I know there's times that something happens beyond our control, that something happens we don't know about, or we don't pray the prayer of faith, or we do something, I know that there are signs. People don't get healed, because I've seen it a lot of times, but I said, the Word says he does. The Word says he does. And he said, there ain't no place in that Bible you can show me where God heals everybody every time. I said, well, turn to Psalm 103, and let's read the first three verses and see what he says. He turned over there and said, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord. Bless his holy name. I said, number one, are you doing that? Well, I mean, sometimes I do that. I said, okay. Then he forgives how many of our iniquities? We said, he forgives all of our iniquities. Absolutely all of them. I said, so you don't have a problem. Anytime comes to, any Christian comes to the Lord and says, Lord, forgive me for my sins, he'll forgive them. He said, absolutely. I have no problem with that. I said, well, then what about the rest of that? And he forgives all my sins and heals all of my diseases. But now, my sermon, that's not what he means. I said, okay. I rest my case. You see, that's why we get in trouble, don't we? Because God said it, we don't believe it. Now let's go back to that verse we were at, Jordan. It's so awesome to be able to pull these things up real quick like this. It's so great. We go back to verse 25. For after we should gently teach those who oppose the truth, then if we can do all those things he told us, he said, then perhaps God will change those people's hearts. Perhaps. And they will believe the truth. So if we're teaching them, we're teaching them gently. We're not quarreling with them. We're being patient with them. We're teaching them gently the truth of what the Word of God said. It says perhaps God will change those people's hearts. Now, you can't change your heart. You know, I mean, women and men, you know, a lot of women especially, they marry some guy and say, well, he's not like I want him, but I'll change him after I marry him. Forget it. Girls, that ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. If he wasn't the wonderful, loving knight in shining armor that you wanted when you married him, forget it. Because he ain't going to become that way. And you guys, if you think you're going to marry this woman and she's got a few little characteristics that you don't like, but after I marry her, I will change her. Forget it. That ain't going to happen. You better like her or him just like he is, because that's the way it's going to be, except it's going to get worse after you get married. That's the way it is. I'm telling you, that's the way it is. I'm telling you, this is just a fact. Okay. Now then, but it don't have to stay like that. If you see God and His wisdom and you learn to go to the throne of grace, can God change that person? Okay, now here's what we're talking about. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts, and then they will believe the truth. And then the next verse, let's look at this next verse. Then they will come to their senses after God changes their heart. They will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap, for they have been held captive by the devil to do whatever he wants to do to them. Now then, see, that's why you were that mean, wicked guy or girl, because you were not walking in obedience to the Word, and that devil had you, he just come by and he said, he said, there's Fred. He's in a little strife with Kathy. Him and her got in a little quarrel this week. I think I'll just get him. And he does, doesn't he, Fred? And you know that well, that he'll come right in you, don't you? And that's how we pick up demons. That's how we pick up demons, because we don't do what he says. Whenever we don't do what God says there, those devils, they take us captive at his will. If we're quarrelsome and we're doing all the things that he tells us not to do, we're not doing all those things. It says the devil just take you captive at his will. So he comes by your house one day and says, you and your wife got in a little quarrel. He said, I think I'll just take a hold of her and just really make her get really mad at you today and just read you the riot act and just kick you out and not fix you no supper for a week. You know, those things come to her mind. And if the devil comes upon you and takes you captive at his will, when you're walking in disobedience to the Word, there ain't nothing you can do to change that right there. When the devil takes you captive at his will, you're in trouble. And it happened because of why? You had a quarrel or knockdown drag out in your home. And the devil come by and took you captive at his will. And it's written right there in the Word of God. So what do we need to do? We need to repent and get back in a love walk with God. And when we repent and get in a love walk, how much place to the enemy do you give when you walk in total obedience to God's Word? None. He can't touch you. Jesus made you a promise. Yes, brother.
That last one where it said, perhaps God.
Yeah.
The perhaps doesn't depend on God. It depends on us. Isn't it if we walk in His Word, then He will.
Well, that's not what it says. It says perhaps God will do that. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts. Now, let's think about this. What if that person had have gone to the point that they had sinned to where the death sentence had been assigned to that person by God? What if that had happened? What if they'd already committed to sin unto death and God served the death sentence on that person? What if they've gone that far? In other words, let me give you an example, a true example. A man, of course, I've told some of y'all this story before, a man that had been a youth leader in a church. Sunday school teacher, had served God for years, and he happened to be a good friend of mine. And this guy got married for the third time in his life, and the woman he married, she had never been married, but when they got married, she said she's a Christian, but she didn't want to go to church. Now, do y'all know that you've heard a lot of people say, how many times have you heard people say, you know, you don't have to go to church to serve God? You know, God understands. I can stay home and watch television. I can watch TBN until the Cowboys come on, and then I can flip it over on the Cowboys and the Saints and whatever. And I can watch 3 football games this afternoon. I don't have to go to church. I'm okay. But that ain't what the Word says. The Word says to forsake not the gathering of yourselves together on a regular basis, as a manner of some are. Now, the Word tells you to do that. But this man had listened to this wife of his and stop going to church. Well, after 10 years now, he's out of church. They've been to church half a dozen times in 10 years. All of a sudden, the man comes down in his 50s with brain tumors. Brain tumors. And they finally send him down to San Antonio, open the top of his head up, and he's got all these huge tumors in his brain. And the doctor made the statement, if God does not intervene in this case, this man is going to die. Well, see, what that man didn't understand, God had already intervened. That's why he had the brain tumors. Because this man had got out of touch with God, and he was not serving the King. And in this case, I prayed for that man. I went down there when he came back. I spent all day in his room in that care center where he was. I prayed over him. I quoted every scripture I knew. I anointed him with oil. I done everything I knew to do for that man. And I thought he was going to get healed. I just knew he was going to get healed. But that was on Monday. And on Thursday, he died. We went back down. I couldn't believe he died. After all that time, I went down there. I did everything God told me to do. And I went back down there on Sunday to his funeral. And on the way home from that funeral, I said, God, I got to know what I did wrong. I got to know what happened here. And I stayed on God's doorstep for nearly 3 hours when he finally said, son, the problem was not yours. You didn't do anything wrong. But he said, the answer to your question is in John 15:2. So I didn't know what John 15:2 said at the time. But I went back to John 15:2. And when I looked at John 15:2, this is what it said. He cuts off every branch that doesn't produce fruit. And he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. He is the vine and you and I are the branches. This man had been a producer of fruit for the kingdom of God until he was about 45 years old, 43, 44, somewhere along in there. And then he met this woman and he married her. And she didn't want to go to church, so they quit. So he stopped producing fruit for the kingdom. I now know he forsook all of the gifts that he'd got when he turned his back on God. He didn't get not one single reward when he went home. Not one. God cut him off. Whenever I made that, I said, Lord. I said, it wasn't his fault. It was the woman. She's the one that got him out of church. And the Lord said, I didn't put the woman in charge of the home. I put the man in charge of the home. He's clearly the spiritual leader. And I don't hold the woman responsible, but I do hold the man. And he said, he disobeyed me. He stopped producing fruit. So he said, I cut him off. In other words, I killed him. And the scripture says that very thing, doesn't it? You want to live a long, good, healthy life? You better produce some kind of fruit for the kingdom of God. I mean, it's a good thing God's merciful. He gave him 10 years. That man, 10 years to go back to producing fruit. And he never would listen. There's no telling how many people God probably sent by. I can just see some of his buddies, you know, that knew him. He'd go by and they knew he was in church all the time. Say, hey, his name wasn't Keith. But since this boy's name is Keith, I'd say, hey, Keith, you're out of church, son. Let's go back to church. Come to church with me Sunday. My wife don't want to go.
Praise the Lord. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. If the teaching you've just heard, if you would like that in its entirety, if you would call our ministry at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. We'll be happy to send it to you free and postpaid. You can also order all of our entire teachings, which we have hundreds of them, on the website at tlsm.org, www.tlm.org, tlsm.org. And there you can go to the free teachings. You can order whatever you want. We'll send them to you free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is Lord.